Hey there, just a heads up, this podcast is for grown-ups only. We're talking about adult stuff, think spicy language, mature themes, and topics your grandma might raise an eyebrow at. So if you're under 18, come back when you're older. For everyone else, enjoy the ride.
Welcome to Hacking Love, deepening commitment through open relationships. I'm Aiden.
And I'm Anna. We created this podcast to explore the transformative power of ethical non-monogamy and how it can deepen connections in modern relationships.
We've been through it all, divorce, heartbreak, and figuring out what real commitment looks like. Now we're here to share our journey and the lessons we've learned along the way.
Whether you're experienced in open relationships or just curious, we want this to be a space where we can dive into real conversation about everything from swinging to polyamory.
We'll talk candidly about jealousy, desire, emotional growth, and radical honesty. Basically, everything that comes up when you step outside the conventional rules of love.
And if you're enjoying the show, we'd love it if you could take a moment to leave us a 5-star review on whatever platform you're listening to. It really helps us reach more people.
Absolutely. And we'd also love to hear from you. Our contact info is in the show notes, so feel free to reach out with your thoughts and questions. We'll definitely get back to you.
So let's dive in. It's time to hack love and discover what truly authentic connections look like. Welcome back to Hacking Love.
Hey guys.
Episode 25.
It's 25 episodes.
It's a pretty big deal.
That's a lot. Some of our favorite podcasts are only like 30 and 40.
I know.
But we don't have the ability to promote because we're not really out. So it's hard for us to go and say, hey, this is my podcast.
Exactly.
So we're sitting here in the dark with maybe a few thousand of you. I don't know how many are listening, but
we'd love to know how you found us.
Yeah, that would be great to know.
Wouldn't that be great? Is the algorithm serving up a suggestion for you when you log into Apple Podcasts or Spotify?
Yeah, and which platform?
Yeah, and we'd love to know what you like and even don't like about our podcast, and if you have any questions or topics you'd like us to cover.
Yeah, keep emailing us. Love to hear from you guys.
Definitely. So what are we going to talk about today?
We can start with the party.
Yeah, so we hosted another one of our parties last night, which was really fun, and Aiden DJ'd. It was his best DJ set yet. It was amazing.
It was pretty good.
It really was.
I was pretty happy with it.
It started at 6 and went until probably 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah, about that.
And yeah, we were talking about it earlier. We have a lot of thoughts about it. I think you had an amazing time. Your set was amazing. You played for 4 hours probably.
Yeah, pretty much the whole time. The main music part of it, yeah.
Yeah, which is really awesome, and people loved it. But it ended up being another learning experience for me, because I've talked about before on here how I'm not really into group play in the lifestyle.
Yeah, our parties are very, they're more a fun party with play available than they are a play party with fun available, if that makes sense.
Exactly.
So ours are less sex party. Like, we don't really do those. We don't really even go to those. It's more our circle of friends, and then people can hook up if they want, but it's not the focus. And what we found is, in the lifestyle, a lot of these parties, the focus is sex. You go to the party, everyone's fucking, you expect it, and there are certain people that love those. And we actually had a couple last night who were new to our party, and I remember she was telling me, I really expected a lot more sex here. And we're like, that's not what these parties are necessarily.
They're more get to know you, more intimate.
Yeah, they're really fun and intimate, and there's sexy things happen, but it's not the focus. It's not why we have them. It says a lot about us too, and that's what we'll get into here. Is we're fairly new at this, a year in maybe, and we've been together 3 years, so we have a different approach than many of the people in the lifestyle. And we've talked in previous podcasts about people who've been married 20 years and they get into the lifestyle and that's what they do. And, you know, they have all this history behind them, all of their relationship stuff behind them. When they finally get into the lifestyle, it's like a whole different experience for them. They've been together a long time. There's a certain longevity and trust probably built into that. So ours are just different. And I think our parties are reflecting who we are. And we don't know really how that's being received. We know that some people are like, did those guys even play at all? And we don't really have an answer for that yet, because we really just are so into each other and we're very selective in the couples we have played with. Took us a long time to get together with them and make that happen. But we're not the typical swingers that you might meet at a typical party. So a lot of the things we're probably telling you guys in our podcast, doesn't really apply to a lot of other people. And that's I struggle with that because I'm just concerned about people who are listening to this who are really experienced going, well, these guys don't know what they're doing, which we don't. We'll tell you right now, we don't. But we're having a blast, and it's fun to keep talking about it and keep podcasting about it.
And like we talked about, I think it was at our last podcast that we talked about, where are you on the spectrum? It was, and I think that we represent a point on that spectrum that is a little bit less toward the sport fucking and a little more toward the connection and selectivity. Yeah, like I don't see sex as
the goal.
I mean, we talked in the beginning, like, oh yeah, if I was having sex with another guy, it would be the same as like using a sex toy. And that's not how I see it actually at all. It's not how I feel at all about it. And I'm just attracted to very few people in that way. I'm attracted to people in a friendship way. I love people. But as far as somebody I'd actually want to be touching me, that's going to be very different. And that's a little bit outside the norm for the lifestyle.
Let's talk a little bit about that, because one of the things you have an aversion to is unconsented hands coming on you, the more assertive hitting on you in a sexual way. It tends to repel you. And I think last night this happened, and we'll get into that. But the idea I have is that these people who go to sex parties, that's what you expect. And they walk in the room, they pick the people that they want to hit on or talk to or get into bed with. And that's how they do it. And we're not used to that, right? When someone comes up and starts really pressuring or, hey, what are you doing? Do you guys, whatever, and the connection hasn't been established, it's not something that's in our book.
I think you're probably better at handling that than I am. And you enjoy that more, those kind of connections with the hands on you and all that. I think that's really nice for you. And one of the things we were talking about afterwards is that it's okay for us to like different things and for us to operate a little bit independently in the lifestyle. But yeah, for me, it's fairly jarring, but it's hard for me to know how to show up at these parties sometimes because there's sexy themes and I love that part. I love dressing sexy for you, but then I feel like I'm leading people on. The best time I had last night was when I got out of my sexy wear and I put on a beaver onesie that covered my entire body and was not form-fitting in any way.
Yeah,
and I was
pretty cartoonish.
Was not only warm, but I felt comfortable.
It had no slots for any hands to come into your body at all.
I was so happy. So I feel like I did in the orgy dome. You're here. Why are you at the orgy dome if you don't want to have sex? Or why are you at this sexy party with lifestyle people if you're not going to play? And I sense, as a woman, my whole life, I've sensed this kind of low-grade irritation with men and even some women in the lifestyle that when I'm not responsive, like I'm expected to be, like there's an expectation of play. Whereas I wish there was an expectation of non-play unless they get some clear signals from me. Mm-hmm. That would make me more comfortable. But I don't think that is the norm in the lifestyle. So again, I feel like I'm just a little bit different. And I found myself having to explain myself a lot and justify not playing last night. And that took up a lot of my time and interactions with people.
Yeah, I think we've come down the road with some of these people so much that they're like, okay, I'm going to ask her if she plays or not, because they're not really putting out signals. And you had several conversations sequentially of guys saying, hey, so you, and now of course I'm DJing, I'm not there to be a part of these conversations. And that's part of your, I think your hesitation last night is you were alone in this room with people that you're expecting to come hit on you, and they did in a way. And you had these conversations where you had to explain yourself.
Right.
And that's not something that's comfortable. And you also, I know you don't really like to reject people.
Right.
It's hard for you to find your voice sometimes, and you've really worked on that a lot. But what was your experience in saying those things and accomplishing what you wanted, which was, hey, this is who I am, this is what we're doing, and
like I was
Aiden can do whatever he wants, but this is how I am. I'm fine where I am.
What I said was, I was asked, do we play? Do you want to come down and snuggle with me? Those kind of things, which I didn't want to do. I basically don't want anybody touching me unless I want to have sex with them. I know that sounds probably really weird, but it gives me creeps when a guy I don't know just starts putting his hands on me. And I know that's the norm in the lifestyle, but for me, it's not something I'm comfortable with. And it puts me in the position of having to move away
or feel like I'm rejecting someone, and then I can tell they're irritated or feel rejected, and now I feel like the bad person. When I was asked, you know, do we even play? I said, yes, we do. We found a couple of couples that we really like, and it took us a long time to find them. And I personally feel pretty saturated and very happy for where we are. Aiden, he does not have any rules on him. He's able to explore whatever he wants. I love that for him. It makes me so happy for him. But I think he's still figuring out what he likes. We're very situational. And so, yeah, it was good in the sense that I got to practice my no. I stumbled over my words several times because there was one instance where the person just kept asking in different ways and didn't really take the no. And so then I was struggling to find different ways of saying no in a nicer way, but it never really works. Some people just don't want to hear it.
What a great experience, though. Again, we're just coming on the heels of this thing from last night, but you've never had to do that.
I've had to do it my whole life.
You've never, from what I remember, you've never been able to really voice that. Like, you had trouble saying no, and you're practicing that.
I've never been good at saying no, but I've had to do it my whole life.
Okay.
And it's always been uncomfortable, and it's not the way I want to spend an evening.
That's for sure, yeah.
So, no, it was tricky last night because you were DJing most of the time, so I was by myself. So I was trying to think of ways that I could still participate in something like that, because I was saying, like, for you, at a party like that, you have multiple things that you're interested in doing, like spending time with me, DJing, getting attention from other women. You are fine with all the touching and all that, and that feels sure. good and yeah. it's like fun for you, and I want that for you. Whereas for me, I really only wanted to have you touch me, and then I just wanted to talk to other people, but I felt in that environment, just talking to anyone was this invitation to touch me. And then I was in this position of having to move away or get up and move around or do something else or get asked if I even play. And then again, I had to justify why I'm straight multiple times last night again.
You did?
I didn't hear that part. Yeah. Uh-huh. Men, yeah, they really want that performance. And so having to explain to them, like, ask them if they're straight. Yes, they are. Why don't they go kiss Bob? Make sure that they're straight. Like, I know I'm straight, just like you're straight. So it gets a little old after a while. And I just want to talk to people and learn about them and learn about their lifestyle experience and what their lives are like and their dating histories. I want to learn about them and get to know them. Especially, there were a lot of brand new people that I didn't know at all last night. And so it was just a little more, like, I found myself wanting someone by my side to be a buffer for me, a man specifically. And I didn't want to pull you from DJing because you were doing, first of all, such an amazing job. Anytime you quit DJing to come over and hang out, like, the music was not as good. I don't want to take that from you. I don't want to take any experience from you. But then, since I wasn't playing or engaging physically with anybody, anytime you weren't DJing, you were hanging out with me, which put a little force field around you as far as other women paying attention to you, which I felt like I was taking that away from you. So what I ended up coming to is that after you finished your set, it was basically my bedtime anyway. It was like 11. I really prefer to go to bed at 10. So I said, hey, why don't we try this? I'm going to go downstairs and we'll just see if that frees up women to feel like they can come and talk to you, touch you, do all play if they want to or whatever. And that's exactly what happened, which is perfect, because I think when you're looking at a couple and there's one who's clearly not playing, I think you just assume that the other partner is not playing either or isn't allowed to play. And that's definitely not the case with us. I really want you to do what you want to do and explore and have a wonderful time. And after a while, you came to check on me and I was like texting my sister or something. And then you told me about what had happened. Some women had come up and given you some attention and love. And I was very excited for you. And then I just went home pretty soon after that. I was really tired and
just, the old Irish goodbye.
I did.
I was like, got a text like 30 minutes later. I'm like, where are you? And they're like, I'm at home in bed.
Yeah, I could tell. They usually end by midnight, but it was past midnight. It was midnight when I left. And I could tell the music was still going. There were a lot of people still talking. And I just thought, this is going nowhere. People are staying. So I'm just going to go ahead and go home. So I did that, and yeah, I texted you. I texted the whole group just to let them know. I was like, oh, this is great. Thanks for everybody coming. So people didn't think I just disappeared, or I was like, I don't want anybody to think that I don't want you to do anything or that I have any bad or negative feelings about it. Definitely don't. It's really important to me in the lifestyle that you do what you want to do and use this as a way to explore whatever desires you have, whether they're with me or without me. And I think that we're going to have different things that we like and don't like. And I think it's okay if we do things on our own sometimes so that you get what you need and I get what I need. And I felt like that was so perfect. Just, I was ready for bed anyway, and it lets you have some freedom to explore and let the other women know that I wasn't trying to pee around you and
pee around you.
You know how like dogs will pee around things to mark their territory?
Okay.
Yeah, that I'm not trying to own you, that I want you to have your own experience in the lifestyle. Just like I'm having mine, even though mine is more limited because I want it to be. That's more pleasurable for me.
I had mentioned to you earlier today, I think you're overstating what I want out of that.
Yeah.
My first and foremost is to be with you. I just love that. I love the connection we have. When we're in an environment like that, it's just so much fun for me. Mm. Just you and me talking, joking around and watching people. Mm. That's my favorite number one reason to do any of the stuff. I am okay with like people getting cuddly and getting flirty. I mean, I like that. It makes me feel good. But it's not a need I have. And so when you started talking about this earlier, I was like, I don't really need that. I don't see any reason to do separate anything because I don't want to do anything separate. He left and Wub came over and she's being sweet to me and it was great. But
I know.
It wasn't, and it was nice, but it's not like a goal. It's not a desire. It's just, you weren't there. So it was nice.
But I don't want you to miss out on that. That is something that you've always liked in your life. But
I
can miss out on
it. I don't really, but it doesn't do anything for me one way or the other. It's just nice.
It was just perfect timing because I feel like we were.
It did match, right?
It matched, yeah. And we were both getting what we wanted, which was I wanted sleep, and you still were ready to hang out. And, and I think there's something really nice and satisfying for you about that, having other women come up and give you some attention.
Yeah, for sure.
That's great.
For sure.
And I know it's not a need. It's just, it's a want, and it's a legitimate want, and I think it's beautiful.
Yeah. I did decide last night, and I texted you, or I think I sent you a voicemail, and I said that I got my four-hour set at the party that we're hosting. The problem for DJs, they can never be in the fun at a party that they're at or a club. They're always behind the decks working, and so I get to watch all the fun for 4 hours, and that was great. I love DJing. I love the set that I had, and it was just really fun to see everybody dance. It's just a very successful set, but I'm not a part of the crowd, so I think I've gotten that need satiated. It's happened. And the next one we do of these down the road, I'll just DJ for an hour. I have several DJ friends that can cover the other slots. And I'd be with you. That's really what I want.
Is it?
Yes, 100% what I want.
Because I don't want you to feel like you have to babysit me.
There is no babysitting.
All right.
There is me and you being together in a fun environment and having stuff to talk about later and podcast about later. It's just great. The funniest thing about the lifestyle since I got into it is I always thought I wanted that. I always thought I wanted just, oh my God, a sex party. That would be amazing. Have all these other women and everyone's open. You can fuck anyone you want there. And since I've been with you and gotten into the lifestyle, I'm like, that's not really what I want. And it's a great lesson that I'm learning about myself, that I know what I want and I know what I don't want. What I thought I wanted isn't necessarily what I want. And I'm not saying this for your benefit or even my own benefit. I'm just saying that's what I'm getting to is, yeah, we've talked about separate play. And I'm like, that's just, what's fun about that? I've been with a lot of women in my life. I know what it's like to sleep with women. It's great, whatever. But nothing will ever match the connection, the chemistry that we have that makes it so amazing.
Yeah.
I think all the stuff is really spicy and it spices us up. We've talked many times on this podcast about what it's done for us, just the excitement it builds and the reconnection sex, all those great things, which does do a lot for us. But that's the ultimate goal for me, is our connection. Our connection is the most fun. It's the most important. It's the most valuable. And so if we're at a party and we're not connecting, whatever party we're at, that's just not as much fun for me. That's the truth. And I really appreciate your being open and free with me and not putting guardrails on me or pressuring me in any way. That actually makes it even more important for me to connect with you.
Aww.
It's not about, oh, wow, I'm free. I can go do what I want. That's not my desire. I think what we're struggling with is how do we be in this lifestyle where that's the modus operandi of all these parties and these events and still get what we want from it, right?
Because I feel like at what point will we be kicked out of the group if we're not playing with everybody?
That is a fear for a lot of people. There are people that come and go that they're just, they either don't vibe with the members of the group, or they just are too hesitant, or they're too new, and they don't get invited to the next thing, because that's what you do in this lifestyle, is you have sex with other people. And we do that. We've got our favorite couples and people that we have our eye on, but we're just so much more selective about it. And there is that fear in the back of your head, like, oh, we're going to be invited to anything? I know we will, because we throw killer parties that people love and want to come back to. And so we're offering something to the group. We're just not putting out for them.
I know. We were asked multiple times if people could contribute to the expenses of the party. And you have always said no. And I joked last night when the guys asked, can we really not Venmo you guys or something? And I said, no, Aiden has to make up for the fact that I don't put out in some way.
Did you say that?
I said that.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. That's funny that you said that. Gave him the message.
Because
he was the one asking whether or not you played or not, right?
Correct. And that was following that conversation about us not playing. And it's a pointed question of, so you guys don't play. Like, assuming you're not playing with us, so you must not play at all.
Right.
And that's just...
That's a big assumption.
That's a really, big assumption.
She just doesn't play with you. No.
So.
But he could be getting that idea. He's trying to find the rationale for why you're not really playing with him or anyone he's seen yet.
Or anyone at the party. It was a big party.
And it was a good question for him to ask you. I don't fault him at all for that. Hey, do you play or not? He wasn't, doesn't sound like he was frustrated. He's just curious. And you told him, I do, but with certain people, and my dance card's full.
Yes.
Which was an awesome answer, and that should be our answer.
Yeah.
Because it's true.
Yeah.
And I think it's reasonable. It's totally reasonable.
It's me. And I don't want to be anybody else. I don't exist for the pleasure of other people. I'm a woman with her own thoughts and desires. And the reason I'm doing this is for us and the closeness it brings and the personal growth. And...
Yeah, so I think what we're struggling with is that how do we keep these amazing benefits we're getting from this, which are truly life-changing, I would say, and still be true to ourselves and hold on to our own personal integrity and be the people we want to be and not be pressured into things that we don't want to do. And we've talked about that from the beginning, that and your one of your concerns has been going to the party and being expected to do things you don't want to do. And we've done that a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And we at some point said we're not doing that anymore. And so that's our goal. And if it means we're not being invited to parties, so be it. That's okay. But I don't think it will. That's an extreme thing. I think there are some lifestyle groups that, they won't invite you unless you play because that's what they do.
Yeah, there are parties that are like, oh, if you're not going to play, you're not invited to party. They're play only.
Next one. Yeah. Our group, fortunately, is not like that. We haven't seen that. There are several parties we've been to that were just fun parties where people played.
I just want to be friends with all these people.
And you are.
And I know, but I wonder how long that's going to last. Is that just, I'm going to be patient and be friends for a certain amount of time, but then after a certain amount of time, if you don't sleep with us, then you're done. Then we're not going to waste time on you anymore, because I get that. So that's my fear.
They won't waste time hitting on you anymore. It's not that they're wasting time by being in your presence, because nobody's wasting their time by being in your presence or my presence.
Yeah.
We spread joy to people, and we are interesting people. We have great conversations, and we are gracious, and we are generous, and that's how we are, and that's how we approach things. And if someone doesn't like that because we're not putting out, later, whatever. And I don't get that feeling from this group. Maybe there are certain people in it. That's just their expectation. Their problem is not our problem. Their issues with what they want has no bearing on us.
Yeah.
And I think when we come at it with that kind of confidence that, like, you don't like it, that's too bad. This is who we are. But there is that kind of nagging, are we showing up or whatever? We're showing up for ourselves, and I think that's what's most important.
As long as you're continuing to do what you want to do and I'm not holding you back, then I'm fine with all of that. That's my biggest issue. That's why I felt so good last night when I came upstairs and was able to leave you to do your thing, and you were open to it. Mm-hmm. And you didn't feel guilty, or you didn't feel the need to coddle me or come babysit me or what's wrong or any of that, because nothing was wrong. I was super happy to go lay down and rest. And like,
you were super sweet about it when I came to see you, and I just go, and you were just so happy that I had this attention. And
I was,
and I, what you're saying stokes up memories of when I was married. I hate to always talk about that, but it's my reference point of having to coddle my ex all the time about everything and having to make sure she was okay. And it was my complete job in our marriage was to make sure she was okay. And whether that's cleaning the dishes, whether that's helping through an emotional crisis. And I don't have that at all with you. And it's so refreshing.
I'm glad.
So I don't have to babysit you, and I don't have to coddle you and make you feel better, because I know who you are, and you're a strong woman, and you have expressed multiple times that's not what you want from me. What you want from me is love, connection, and all the great things that we have.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want management. So that was freeing. And I could see down the road, someone's invited us to a fun party, and maybe it's a sex party, and maybe I'll go. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's not something I really necessarily want to do. It's not something that's in my fantasies or anything like that. But I could see being able to do it because I don't need to do that with you.
Wouldn't that be nice? I think that would be a really cool experience for you. And I would love to hear about it, your experience, because I think you'd have a very different experience if you went to something like that without me. I think it would be, I don't know if you'd ever want to do it again. After knowing you, you'd probably be like, okay, that was the
thing. Yeah, I do that.
But
I'll do the one thing and be like, okay, I did it for 4 hours. I've done it now. I've done it now. Do it again.
But who knows? You might. And that's what I want for you. You're my best friend. You're my favorite person. I feel like I know you really well. And that kind of thing would appeal to you, those going and having an experience like that.
You might know me better than I know myself, because I don't see it.
I don't know. I might. I don't want to force you into something that you're not interested in.
You can't force me into it. It's just, but, I just don't know. It's not something I seem to want. Now, if I got in a situation, I don't know. If I were, there enough people I was attracted to in the room, maybe. But that hasn't happened yet, really. We have a lot of great-looking people in our group, but they're just not my specific type, which is very specific.
Yeah.
And I was talking to a guy last night about this, actually, and he was saying that he doesn't spend any time with any women that he's not really into, because just like I was saying, I've been with a lot of women in my life, don't need it again, and I just want to focus on the people that I do want that with.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can totally live with that 100%.
Yeah, I can see that. I think you're still in maybe an exploring phase where it might be interesting for you to engage in one of these wild sex party kind of situations.
I'll do anything once, and if I like it, I'll do it again. And if I don't like it, I'll do it again just to make sure and confirm that I didn't like it. So that's how it is. So I might do it twice.
That's really funny.
Yeah. I don't know. This is a really interesting thing, I think, for anyone listening too, because if you've never been to one of these parties, it could be very different to any experience you've had. Doesn't mean it's a bad experience. Doesn't mean it's something that should scare you. But it's good to know what the culture is. And the culture is people play. That's what they do. And some people are there to do that all the time. That's what they want. Others just love being in this lifestyle and getting the benefits from it that we get. And I don't think we have to pay into it. I really don't. I think we can continue to be awesome friends to these people and see the occasional person that we like and keep doing it. And I don't think there's any problem with that at all.
I've always seen you, for some reason, had a vision of you in a big group setting. Just
let's explore that. What is this fantasy you have?
I don't know if it's a fantasy so much as I am a manifester, and we've had this in our relationship before where I just see things and then they eventually happen.
Or we just think of things and they happen.
We do.
But last talk came from us thinking about it and talking about it, and it just happened over time.
But I think your history with rave culture and the cuddle puddles and the snuggliness, I just mm-hmm. see that as a more natural extension of you thriving in that sort of group play and that scenario. And I don't think you've really gotten to explore that.
That has been my history. I've got many years of rave culture and club culture under my belt. And in a lot of those situations, you're cuddling up with people and it's not even sexual. You're just like stroking each other and talking, and I know it sounds odd for some people who haven't experienced that, but it's really the way it is. It's a really unique experience in those environments. where you could be cuddling up to somebody who's just a friend and it's not a problem. And so I do have that experience doing that. And last night was natural for me. Yep. As soon as you left, this woman comes over and gets right down with me and starts cuddling and stroking me a little bit. And, and it was great. And I'm used to that. Whereas you really haven't had that in your life.
No.
And so it's totally new to you. And the expectations, this person stroking me, now I have to go fuck him. And I can totally understand why. And that may be.
That has been my experience. If a man's touching me, then what comes next is more aggressive attention.
Which makes a lot of sense.
And it's not usually desired. And having to then put your armor up, figure out what you're going to say, make sure you say it in a nice way that's not offensive, but it's still never going to be taken super well. And then you feel bad, like you're the bad person.
And I think I have an unfair advantage in these rave party environments. I've done that for many years, and it's not even a second thought for me. And for you, I can see you've never had that experience, and that's probably pretty jarring. Because if you're at a bar, and a guy's stroking you,
yeah,
you're like, whoa, wait, what's happening here? And
yeah, I don't know that I've ever wanted that experience. Right. I don't want anybody to touch me unless I'm want to have sex with them, pretty much. Unless they're like my children or something. Or yeah, I don't know if that's odd, but or it's like family, like, and we're hugging. I mean, I'm a very physical touch oriented person, but it's very selective.
Let me put that in reverse a little bit. So the women who are coming up to me mm-hmm. and cuddling with me, I don't know for sure that I could sleep with them. I had several of them last night. No, honestly, this is exactly what I'm talking about, is the being in a cuddle puddle. Now, maybe that's just me being naive.
You're being naive. In that group last night, anyway.
There was the one woman.
Right.
Who was doing that, and I didn't expect anything out of that. Maybe at a later date, but there was no, like, hey, let's go into the back bedroom. None of that happened. Now, that one
person.
But you
could have.
I don't know that I could have with her right there. Her husband was right there. They were playing around with other people and talking and flirting. It's, again, I think that's the culture that I came from, was you could do that and have no expectation of sex. Now, again, in this environment, I'm new to it too. Maybe I'm being naive, but I don't have that expectation of sex when they're doing that.
Which is great.
When Inn was flirting with me and she was just being sweet, there was no expectation, like, we're going to go out and bang in the back room. None at all. And I don't think she had it either, because the environment, the time that we were together and people were talking to, I think there's a difference. And I think it's your lived experience. And I'm not saying you're deficient in anything. It's probably good you didn't learn in rave culture your whole life. It's not the healthiest thing to always do. But I do have that experience. And I think women in that culture also probably have that experience. Now, you put it into a sex party, maybe it just changes the whole game. But in that environment that we had last night, that's fairly normal in my experience. Without the sex part.
I think that in that environment, any woman touching you that way would have said yes if you had asked them to go to a bedroom to have sex.
I 100% disagree. There were at least three of them, and there was one, the first one when you left, she came up, yeah, that would happen.
Right.
Like, she was ready to bang.
Yeah.
The other two, no.
Okay.
Put them on the podcast.
We could. I would disagree. I just think women don't make those moves unless they're willing.
That's where I think the experience is different. I really do.
I think it's great that you don't expect it. I think that's one of the reasons you're so attractive to women, is that you don't have those expectations. Most men do. If you're touching a man, they think you're off to the races. And so
I would love to just ask them.
Yeah.
Because I totally disagree with you. They could be expressing they're attracted to me. They could be expressing that maybe it's someday we can have a date. And maybe they're into me because their husband likes you. There could be other reasons for it, but at that moment, going and doing it in the back wouldn't happen.
You guys, let us know. Email us. I would love to hear. If a woman
everybody comes
up and is touching a man's penis.
No, that's the penis one. That was a sure thing.
Do they?
The others were just talking and flirting and connecting with me. Totally different.
No touching at all?
They weren't stroking my dick.
They weren't touching you in any way?
They were touching. It was like the...
Okay.
The slow stroking of your arm and things like that.
There is no way, and I know that
you
I am on the far spectrum.
You have never been in that culture.
I would never touch a man because that immediately would be...
Can we not agree that you have a different life experience?
I do.
And that's maybe where that's
coming
from?
My lived experience is if I touch a man in any way, they assume they are in.
Okay. That is your experience. In this experience, like last night, I'm not saying at any other party. I think our party in particular, this kind of ravey kind of party, totally acceptable. And it's something that happens all the time. You just haven't been to a lot of those. Can we just agree that maybe that's not an experience you've had, and that my experience is probably relevant to that?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I would also say that you do have a history of having no idea that women want to fuck you. Absolutely being clueless.
Fair point. Fair point.
Through. We have to throw that into the mix.
Well, you've had to tell me a lot. That woman's really into you. I'm like, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. She says, you could totally have her. I'm like, no. But I still am not convinced. Because I think this is just your opinion. Because you're in love with me.
You guys, one day when we get outed and you get pictures of Aiden, you all are going to be emailing me and realize.
Wait, who's that guy? What's he doing with her?
No, yeah. Not into you at all. I think you massively underestimate your attractiveness to women. And a part of that is that you don't make assumptions. So maybe you just don't change. Maybe you stay clueless.
I stay clueless.
Because then you don't make assumptions.
They keep hitting on me. They're frustrated. Or they're not.
No, I think that for women, the slow roll is never a bad bet, whether they are aggressive players in the lifestyle or not.
What do you mean slow roll?
Moving slowly, not just going straight to the bedroom. Like none of those women, if they left without sleeping with you, they're going to want to sleep with you more the longer it takes to do it.
Well, that's the trick.
That's the trick for me. Usually I'm just, if I'm not attracted to you, I'm probably never going to be attracted to you. But there have been times where somebody grew on me over time, or I was attracted to somebody, but they didn't just attack me and took the time to get to know me and listen. Mm-hmm. And you're really good at that. You actually pay attention. You ask good questions. You act like an actual friend instead of a predator. And that is such a turn on. And that's a turn off to me, to like, for these men who, they're not asking me about me. They're asking me about why I'm not playing and why I'm not playing with women. And it's nothing about me or my life or who I am.
I think it's because their purpose is different than being there.
Yeah.
And doesn't that say a lot about us, though? Because that dynamic works for us. Like, the way in your pants is not coming on hard. The way in your pants is being an intelligent human being and connecting with you. And being attracted to start for you, kind of person you like. And then being charming and being solicitous and asking questions and getting to know you. And then maybe waiting till the following date or another day that they see you and continuing that. And that's happened a couple of times with people in the lifestyle that we've met. First, like, never. And then you might have fingers in you at a party.
That's just because you
were... That's a past podcast. You look at that
one. Because you were DJing.
And I left you alone and he moved in. But he was very sweet about it. And I think that's a good example, actually, of someone who you're, like, okay with a bit. And you wouldn't have gone and banged him, but he was kind, and he was put a towel on you because you were cold and you were just hanging out. And I think you're not the one to be like, hey, where are you going? You're hot, which is exactly what happened with that one guy last night. And I think this probably applies to a lot of women, especially women who don't have a history of anything in this realm, who have been traditionally monogamous, taught to do the monogamous things. It's just a new world. And I think that's what we're struggling with, both of us, me in my own way.
I think if anybody wants to know how to come on to me in a way that I like, it's just to talk to me like a real human. Like the two single men I went out with didn't ask me any questions about myself. They talked the whole time. Not that I need to talk about myself.
Which is shocking to me. That's just one-on-one dating.
But the guys that I have been most attracted to, of course, I was attracted to them just... there was chemistry already, which is nice, but they didn't make it sexual immediately. And they just talked to me like a human being and asked me, what do I do? What are my likes and dislikes? Ask me about my kids and family and ask me about you and us.
Mm-hmm.
That's always a green flag.
That is a green flag.
And if they're actually interested in me as a person, because that's what I'm interested in, them as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the attraction builds. And I can feel in those situations, when a man's attention is focused on me, like, that doesn't feel uncomfortable at all. That feels complimentary. Like, I feel actually seen. Then we're actually establishing a friendship. And
you know what?
It feels more sincere. And it's not just, I'm just another vagina. feels a little gross.
That's a beautiful thing. You want to connect at a human level. There ain't nothing wrong with that. And that's where I'm at, too. That's really where I'm at. That's why the touching and all that stuff was fine. I wasn't thinking at all, I'm going to take you in the back bedroom. You were gone by that point. Mm-hmm. I could have done it. I could have, if I'd thought of it and wanted to do it,
yeah,
I probably
absolutely
could have. I could have offered it. I'm not saying I could have done it, but I could have offered it and maybe taken another step further.
Mm-hmm.
But I also want that connection. And that's such a great experience for me to learn too, because again, like when I was young, I would have been just a kid in a candy store. But now I'm in love and engaged with you and have this ultimate love of my life. And it's just fallen by the wayside. Honestly, it's just not important to me. I don't know how it'll be in 5 years, 10 years. But right now, and since I've met you, that's where I'm at.
I get it.
And you're talking about, maybe I could just have a date while you're DJing. And so I'll have someone there with me. And you thought that was a great idea.
I did.
And I'm like, no. Want at all. I'm going to be up there working.
Well, I was just
watching
thinking,
you get down with a guy.
No, I was just thinking it would be nice if I had somebody there with me when you were DJing, especially if it's going to be like 4 hours, that I had a date with me. And this is because of the amount of energy I felt like I was expending on finding different ways to say no or justifying my non-playing or that kind of thing. Like, it would be so nice. Like, when you were with me, I didn't have to do that at all. And I could just relax and talk to people normally. But I thought I could just, if I ever found someone, have a date with me and they could sit next to me. And if I was going to play, I could play with them, but I could actually just not play with them, but they could just be there with me. Which,
where are you going to find that guy?
I don't know.
Sit with me at this thing while my boyfriend DJs, and then when he's done, get lost.
I could probably find somebody.
You call it a stand-in. You call it a stand-in.
A stand-in. That's exactly right.
My solution's better. I'll just stop DJing and we'll be together, and that's awesome.
That sounds amazing to me. I just don't want to take that away from you because you're so good at it.
I had my time, and I was happy with it. And if I decide I need to do that again, that's great. But I'll just do it for a little while. It's fine with me. I'm missing the fun. That's really how I felt up there a lot. I was having fun because it was just such a great set. And it was so well-received. But it wasn't, like, fun.
I just hate that I need protection, essentially. It is what it is. But I was just thinking, like, how much more comfortable I felt when you were with me. And so I was trying to figure out a way to not be so needy and to allow you to do all the things you wanted to do in the party, but also get my own needs met and have a better time myself. And so that was my solution.
That was very sweet. And that's how you are. You think of me and you think of my experience, which is a beautiful thing. Like, you were really concerned about it. And I'm here to tell you, I'm fine. And I can adjust whatever I'm doing because my goal is to be with you and my goal is to... It's just more fun with you. I don't have that need to just go out and fuck women. It's just not my thing.
We do have fun. I love that video of us when we were laying down and I was in my beaver onesie and we were just holding hands and talking and laughing.
I couldn't get my hands in anything either because it was all zipped up. It was really difficult. But yeah, interesting question. When we go to the lifestyle event in El Salvador, what does that mean for us?
That'll be interesting. What I like about that event is that it is not a play-focused event. It's not an alcohol-fueled party event. It's a wellness retreat. Which is our jam. I think that just right off the bat, there's going to be much less pressure for any of that. And I think Scott and April aren't playing a ton either. So I'm really actually excited to get to know them personally and learn from them.
From Naughty Gem, which is another podcast that we listen to.
They're the ones organizing this El Salvador trip that we're going on. So yeah, I haven't been nervous about that for that reason. And who knows? I'm sure it'll be a learning experience just like anything else. Mm-hmm. But
we're learning right now. All this talking we're doing right now is processing our experience last night and trying to figure out where we fit into this. And I'm just so overjoyed with the change in our mentality around what a relationship is and how we can be our best in it and all the benefits it's brought to us. I really love that side of it. And I think the rest of this is more to talk about and more to learn from. And you've said from the beginning you really like the idea of separate dates.
Mm-hmm.
I've mentioned from the beginning that I don't.
I know.
And I think it's, quote, legal cheating. But I think someday we could both come around to it. Because if we've seen enough of this, which if we ever do see enough of this, then it's something like, oh, yeah, she's going to run the guy. I really like that guy. And I hope they have a great time. I would love to be at that point. Right now, I'm not there. And
I'm probably not there either. Let's be real. I'm probably more jealous in our past episodes to going over this stuff. But
so if I had a date, like if we just agreed, hey, we're going to do this, just be yourself, do your thing. You've told me that many times.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, great. I've met this woman. She's great. She's in the lifestyle. She does what she wants. We're going on a date. We'll probably put some ideas into when I should come home, when I should check in, those kinds of things. Because I think you have to do that in a separate dating.
Mm-hmm.
How would it make you feel?
I think it would depend on the woman, right?
She's someone I really like. And she's hot.
Yeah, that would be hard. But I think it would be easier if I also had someone. I've heard of people, when they separate date, they wait until they both have a date on the same night. Mm-hmm. So they're both going out and no one's left at home.
Mm-hmm. What does that give us?
I don't know. I think it would give us a lot of the same things as the playing with couples has in the reappreciation of each other.
True, I believe.
Because there's nobody I go out with that's going to be better than you. The risk and the fear, of course, is that you'll fall in love with this person and that you'll want to be with them instead of me, right?
Right.
But I feel like I can't really control that anyway, whether we're monogamous or not, or whether we have a bunch of rules around our non-monogamy or not. I feel like it's really not in my control who you love. And I wish it was, but I think that's one of the illusions of monogamy that we have trouble with.
Mm-hmm. But in a monogamous way, though, we're making it much more easy for that to happen.
That's
easy,
true.
I say in quotes, because I don't think it's any easier in the lifestyle than it is in monogamy. I think monogamy is just more secretive. It's more, oh, I've met this person and she's just listening to me and she's really sexy and I'm getting a lot of NRE out of it, or I could if I went that far. But it's the same thing, and it's actually way more dangerous than monogamy, because then you get into the betrayal and the lies and the deceit and the bullshit. Whereas we would be accepting it up front and saying, she's going out with this man. I hope they have a great time. She's going to get nailed.
But you're right. There's way more opportunity in non-monogamy because there's no guardrails.
It could happen every weekend.
Like, it could happen all the time. Yeah. And so,
and it's totally open. So I don't have to like, hey, I'm going on a date. Bye. You know, like,
you could easily fall in love with somebody else. If you go out with enough women, like, I'm not so naive as to think that I'm the only woman you could ever fall in love with ever again. I like to think that in my own head.
Of course. Romantically. I mean, we have so much history and so much love built up. It would take... How long did it take us to fall in love? We fell in love within 3 weeks. But how long was it for us to really love each other and know that love? That was a year and a half.
To our standards? Yeah.
To our standards.
Exactly.
And I'm never going back from these standards.
No, I'm not either. So I think that so it's risky, but if I had to guess, it would probably only solidify what we have because it is so rare what we have built.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. But what if it's, it didn't? Right, exactly. Hey, and so it
and that's
is
the fear.
It's a risk, and that is the fear. So it's not something that I set on, but it's definitely the model that makes me the most comfortable and feels like I'm getting my needs met in a way that, if I'm going to be doing this, that it gets just what I want and none of what I don't want. I feel like with anything like group or the couples play, there's always something there that I wish wasn't there.
like the other woman.
Like the other woman.
And me.
No, not you necessarily.
No, there are three of us, yeah.
That would be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be fine. And we've talked about that. But it sounds really selfish of me. But at the same time, I'm just trying to navigate.
What sounds selfish?
To just want to be, just to be me and you or another guy or both.
That can happen. Fortunately,
if we can find
that is
another
the
guy.
One thing we agree on. If we can find the right guy and make that happen, there's a lot of mental cycles you go through when you're setting that up. We've tried several times.
We have.
Like, you had those two guys you had coffee with. We had one guy that we both met with one time. Those didn't work out, but I think that could easily work out if we find the right person.
And I'm in no rush. Like, I've told you, like, we had that wonderful experience with the original Superman Wonder Woman, and fine with that for a year at least. If I had something like that just every so often and got what we got out of that, all the stories and the sexiness and
that was just
all of that,
all around great.
It was wonderful. And I think I don't need to have quantity. I'm fine with just keeping our eyes open for things that work, but not trying to force things.
Mm-hmm.
I have one more question for you that I forgot to ask.
Okay.
So I know that the women were touching you when I left, but were, what were you doing?
I was caressing them the same way they were caressing me.
What body parts?
Arms, legs.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So you didn't get into boobs?
Did not get into boobs or any of that stuff. That's what I used to do in the rape culture. It was that same kind of non-threatening. Maybe that's a problem for me because I've been trained in that, which doesn't go any further, right? Mm-hmm. These lifestyle guys, they go further. They're playing with boobs and they're like, hey, can I touch your boobs? And they do. I haven't done that yet.
Yeah.
And my training, probably similar to yours, is I got this thing over here. It's a prudish thing. It's caressing. It's fun. It's close and intimate, but non-sexual. And yours is, don't touch me, non-sexual. And I don't know that mine's any better. I'm probably frustrating some people too. I know that girl last night was frustrated because she was working on me a little bit. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, God.
But I don't know. I haven't crossed that river yet. Of, oh, yeah, let's go do this.
Now that you think about it, would you have wanted to do that?
Maybe with one of them, if the environment was right and she suggested it and she made it happen.
That's so fascinating.
Maybe.
Yeah, you have a very different play style than other men in the lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Much less aggressive.
Yeah, what you're saying is an advantage, so maybe I'll stick with it.
It really is. I think that...
if I wanted it really bad, I would... suggested it, and I don't.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think if you did want it, hopefully you would eventually feel comfortable. And I think that I know you would approach the subject with them in such a respectful way. You're not a bro. I think you pick up on cues that are non-existent, that women are not interested. And I think that's actually the best
way. But they could still be there. I just don't see them.
It's the best way to be. You don't want to assume that someone is interested when you haven't gotten a clear consent from them. And I think that's a great way to be. But yeah, I think you probably could get away with, if you were interested in exploring a little more, you could probably very successfully do that.
Yeah, I have no doubt. If I were aggressive like some of those guys, I'd be hitting it every couple times I talk to people.
But I think for you too, like you've said this many times, like you want to feel like whoever you're with really wants you.
Correct.
And that you're not pressuring anybody to do anything that immediately turns you off. Yes. And I love that about you. I can see, I love your style. I think it's great. And it's evolving just like mine is, right? Because this is all so new. Awesome.
I'll stick with it then.
Yeah, you do you.
We'll continue not fucking anybody.
Oh my God.
Which is totally fine. I get you at the end of the night, and I'm perfectly happy with that. And I know it's hard for you to believe that, but it's just so true. It's so true.
I get it. I feel the same way.
Yeah.
And there is this weird contradictory feeling when you have all the freedom in the world that you just don't really want it.
Yeah, it's fascinating to me.
And that is definitely been the case for me, where I am just very picky.
And you have all the freedom. You really do. I mean, if you said, I really want to go on separate dating, we want to make this happen, I'd make it happen.
I know.
Or I'd help you make it happen.
I don't care that much.
But that is, it's all the freedom that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes from the lifestyle. That comes from us being open-minded. And I should say it comes from us being open, not from the lifestyle. Lifestyle is a lot of other things. But from us being open-minded to whatever experience that you need or that I need, that we can explore it.
I really want that for you. I think for me, the healing part of the lifestyle is being comfortable with my no and being able to narrow down what I specifically like and play almost less and more in a targeted fashion that is more picky, and that I'm really using this as an opportunity to take care of myself and listen to myself and learn what I like and don't like. But for you, I see it as this avenue for growth and expansion and actually doing a little more, like the group play or just trying different things with different women, different configurations. I see you as more interested and open to those things, or at least trying them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I see that. And that I see that as being like a really positive thing for you. So there's
ways. She thinks maybe I don't see it myself, but I trust, because you know me so well, things that I don't know about myself. And that's very possible. I don't feel it right now, but I can agree that if you see it, you know me pretty well, maybe there's something there. But I haven't imagined it a lot.
Yeah. And I don't want to put words in your mouth.
No,
I could be wrong.
You're saying what you know.
But I think as we progress, I think getting comfortable with us being different and our play styles being different, I think will be a super positive thing for us. And I definitely felt that last night, and it felt so good. It really
did.
When
you left the room, you mean?
Yes. It felt so great. Like I was taking care of both of us, and wow. I just loved it.
That's funny. That's so funny. I'm sure, especially in monogamy, a lot of women would not feel that way. That you're taking care of both of you by you leaving and him doing whatever he wants.
Oh, it was great. I felt the same way when you had the separate play experience. Exactly. It was right. Very similar. I felt so relieved and I felt so happy.
You did. You're right.
I really did.
Yeah. I wasn't.
But you got to have that experience and you got to learn from it. And I think you wouldn't have known that unless you had that experience. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of those things about you. You always say you don't know unless you go. You know, right. You like to try things. And I want that for you.
Thank you, love.
I love you.
I want that for you, too.
I know. I just can't find the guys.
I can't find the gals. Okay. Any other thoughts on this whole experience? Maybe something for others to learn from it?
I don't know. I can't think of anything else.
That is our focus, is we want people to learn from our experience. And this is a very typical conversation for us to mm-hmm. really explore feelings and what we think about things. And it's fun. It's interesting. It's sometimes hard. But it's these hard conversations all the time that we have. Most of them are easy as hell, but the hard ones in working through those and really understanding where each other's coming from that really make a difference in our being together and our relationship and what we do. So I'm just really happy with that. I'm just so blessed that I can be at this point in my life where I can actually have that kind of an interaction mm-hmm. with my partner. Never had it in my life. So excited to have it. Mm-hmm. And I think in the back of both of our minds is we don't want to fuck this up.
No.
And I think the only way we fuck it up is dishonesty.
Exactly.
And not communicating. Those are the two things that will mess up, I think, any relationship ultimately.
Yeah.
And so far, we don't have to worry about that. And I hope we never do. So that's exciting. And that's a lesson for anyone listening is if you're in a relationship, those two things are pretty key. Communicating, making it honest, and just being vulnerable. And I think that's what we do pretty well.
Yeah. Our conversations are the favorite part of my day.
Yeah, mine too.
Truly.
Yeah.
Whether they're quote unquote hard or not, even when they are hard, they're almost even more important to me. And I cherish them because it always means I leave them getting to know you better. And the more I know about you, the more I love you.
Oh, it's true.
I love you.
Okay, we'll stop shmooping. Everybody. Thanks, guys, for listening. Send us your thoughts. Send us your emails, please. We'd love to hear from you.
Yes.
If you're going to be in El Salvador, we'd especially love to hear from you and get to know you.
Definitely.
But otherwise, we'll see you on the next one.
All right. Bye, you guys.